Are you blessed this morning? Yeah. Seriously, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you might be dealing with, if you have Jesus Christ, we are blessed. If we have Jesus Christ, we should have peace in our hearts. You know, that's something that we got to grab a hold of. Can I get a witness? You know, what I mean by that is you don't have to work hard to be stressed out. You don't have to work hard to be fearful or anxious. But sometimes you got to press in to get that peace. But God has that peace for us. Amen. And it's time to rejoice, church people. You know, you're blessed. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying you put whatever it might be, put it up against the Most High God. You magnify the Lord. Begin to see Him for who He is. And I mean that. God's honest truth. I'm not saying you haven't been wronged. I'm not saying you haven't been dealing with some hardcore issues. I'm just saying there's a God in heaven that loves you, and He wants you to have peace, and He paid the price for you to have peace. You know, Isaiah talks about He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His stripes we are healed. So just like we believe that our souls are saved, our sins are forgiven because we've accepted that precious gift of Jesus Christ, there's peace for you this morning. That's all I want to say on that subject. Go to Luke chapter 1, 30 and 31 this morning. Luke chapter 1, 30 and 31. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We are nothing without you, but we can do all things through you. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness, Lord. We ask that your will be done, and we ask for your anointing. Thank you for strengthening your servants, Lord. And thank you for your blessings in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So God is good. Can I get a witness? And the angel said to her, so just a little background. We're talking about the nativity story. We're talking about Mary doing whatever she's doing. And the angel Gabriel appears to her, says, "Mary, I got some good news for you." That's where we're at. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, I've always found that very interesting, and especially this time when I was getting into this study a few weeks back, I began to study like the Christmas chapters in the Bible and stuff like that, and just to kind of see what the Lord was going to have us talk about or go through over this holiday season. And this really jumped out at me this time, because here's this angel that just appears in front of this little girl. He says, "Don't be afraid." Okay, we get that, because these angels were awe-inspiring. These angels were fear-inducing beings, if you know what I mean. These things were just a massive, amazing things to behold. And so the angel says, "Don't be afraid." But then he says, "Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, we know a little bit, we know a lot of bit about Mary's life. We know what's going to happen to her in the days to come. The angel says, "Mary, you found favor with God." We know what had to go through Mary's mind. You know, when the angel says, "Look, you're going to conceive a child." Okay, so Mary has to understand, and we know that this is playing through her head, that, well, there's a really, really, really good chance here, okay, that the neighbor folks, the townsfolk, are going to look down on me for this. You know, that's at the bare minimum right there, you know, that I'll have to deal with that rejection. her family could kick her out on the streets. These are things that had to be rolling through her mind here, you know. But she said, I'm the Lord's servant. And you have favor with the Lord. You know, you have favor with the Lord, Mary, that this is a real, very real possibility. And here's the skinny, here's the real deal. She had to be thinking about this too, because she knew the law. She knew how these things worked. Joseph, if he wanted to, her betrothed husband, could have had her stoned to death. Yeah, that was something that he lawfully could have done in those days. So she had to be thinking about this, but she had the favor of the Lord in her life. See, we have the favor of the Lord in our lives. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've done that, you have God's favor. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying for a second that he's pleased with every single decision you do. What I'm saying is, when you accepted that precious gift of Jesus Christ, you have been grafted into God's family. God is now your heavenly Father. Okay? So you have that favor. Does that make sense this morning? You belong to God. You have his favor. You see, Mary considered those things. You know she had to ponder those things. But you know, there's some things that she would not have a clue that were going to happen to her, that were going to happen to her, that she was going to be part of. You know, she never would have thought, she never could have even begun to imagine that she would be a witness to her son being flogged and seeing his flesh ripped open and muscles exposed and organs being exposed and all that. There's no way for her to know that. And there's no way she could have known that she would have saw her son, who wasn't doing anything wrong. He was that sinless, spotless lamb. She saw her son murdered and crucified. And she sat there at his feet as he took his dying breaths. You know, she never would have thought about those things when the angel says, you have the Lord's favor in your life. You know, God has a special mission for you, Mary. Okay? So here's the deal. Here's my big takeaway with all that. This is what Paul's been thinking about. Who in the world promised me that I was going to have a pain-free life? Who in the world promised you that you're going to have a trouble-free life? If they were telling you that, they weren't telling the truth, or they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, but see, God never, ever, ever says that you're going to have a pain-free, trouble-free life. He never says that. Matter of fact, Acts 14 in verse 22, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Now, when the Apostle Paul in Acts 14, his followers, his people thought that Paul was dead, man, because he had just been stoned, man. They had just, the enemies of the gospel just tried to kill this guy. And they seriously thought he was dead. They dragged him out of the city. Then they pray over him. He comes back. He walks back into the city. Okay, so what I'm trying to say, and read a little bit about Paul the Apostle. He knew a little bit about trials. He knew a little bit about suffering. He knew a little bit about keeping the faith and trusting in God as well. And this is what he says to encourage the believers in Acts 14 and verse 22. The dude was just left for dead. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. He's encouraging these guys. And listen to what he says. And saying that through many tribulations, not maybe, not a little bit, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So, Mary, you know, there's going to be a hard road ahead. And, you know, you can look at yourself and say, you know what, this ain't the easy walk. But this is the one that leads to life. And this is the one that you signed up for. Can I get a witness? Okay, so let's look at verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Jesus means God is our salvation. His name speaks of his mission in the world, his mission for all of us. You know, and I want you to look at Matthew 1, verse 21. His name is Jesus, means Yahweh saves. Okay, we got that. Now look at what the angel of the Lord said, the angel Gabriel says to Joseph, the betrothed husband of Mary, okay? Because this ain't just some kid, as you know. There's a lot of kids named Jesus, but this is Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Son of the Most High God. Jesus saves. Can I get a witness? Matthew 1:21. This is Gabriel talking to Joseph in a dream. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yahweh saves. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So yeah, there's going to be some bumps in the road, Mary. There's going to be some crazy trials and tribulations that you're going to have to go through. But I'm doing something big in your life. I've called you for something very, very important. And when we think about what she's been asked to do, what an amazing, amazing thing that she has been asked to do. But I want everybody to think about this as well. Because no, God has not called you to be the earthly mother or the mother of the Christ child, you know, but he has called you to do something. He has invested much in you. You see what I'm saying? He has something for you to do, okay? I'm just saying, just serve God. Serve God. Be obedient to his word and be open to whatever he has for you. You say, what is God's will for my life? Step number one, follow the scriptures. Just serve him. Be obedient to him. And when you're obedient to what his word says, you will have yourself available to wherever and whatever God has for you. He will be able to advance you to the place where he needs you to be. What I'm trying to say is God has called us all to be his servant. God has called us all to be his ministers, okay? So yeah, it's not an easy walk, but okay, God doesn't wish or desire to have any of your pain in the past go to waste. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you guys? What you've went through, listen to me, what you've went through, God says, we're going to use this. We're going to use this. Okay, I'm going to back this up. Let's go to Romans 8:28. God does not desire that any of our trials, our pains, our mistakes, to be wasted. Can I get a witness? Mary didn't have an easy road, but she had Jesus. She had that mission. God's got something for you to do. And by the way, you have Jesus. If you're a Christian, you have Jesus indwelling in you, okay? He is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, Romans 8:28. Everybody knows this verse. You might be looking around saying, I don't know that verse. Well, let's go over it. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, do you love God this morning? I didn't just ask you if you were perfect. I didn't ask you anything like that. But I said, do you love God this morning? Have you accepted his son? Okay. And we know that for those who love God, that's us, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So we can either believe it or not. You can either believe it and be blessed or not and just be miserable and stressed out all the time. You know? And like I said, I'm not saying what you're going through isn't a big deal. I'm just saying that, okay, this may have happened to you. You may have went through this. Okay, but God says, we're going to bring something good out of that. The next verse, Romans 8:29, talks about basically making us more like our big brother Jesus, making us more like our Savior, spiritually maturing us, okay? So here's the deal. He says, he's not saying everything you go through is good. He's not saying the emptiness in your house because your loved one passed is good, right? That's not a good thing. But he's saying, I'm going to bring something good through this. I'm going to bring something good through that. Can I get a witness? And sometimes we're like, I can't see anything good coming out of this. You know what? Trust in God. Grab a hold of God's promises. And refuse to give Satan any ground in your life. Amen. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's true. That's true. He's going to bring something good out of it. Look at Mary and Joseph's journey and those hard things that they went through. You know, Herod trying to kill the baby Jesus, having to get up and flee to Egypt. They weren't alone. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, get Mary, get the baby, get her out of town. Go now. See, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He never says it's going to be an easy road, but he said, I'll be there with you. So we got to learn to trust in his word and stop being so miserable all the time. You know what I mean? I'm not talking down anybody. I'm talking to myself as well. You know, let God be true and every man a liar. So, So here's the deal. They were not alone. And you were not alone. You can try and do it on your own, but it's not going to work out. You're going to go around that mountain over and over again until you realize that, you know, I need God. I need God. The best I can do is just keep messing things up again. But when I am obedient to God and I trust in His promises, amazing things can happen. Look at Matthew 1:23. This is that angel talking to Joseph. So Mary gets the info first. Mary gets the info first. Mary's got this problem. She's betrothed to this guy named Joseph. And then Joseph finds out. He doesn't find out about Mary being pregnant with the Son of God. He just knows that his betrothed wife is pregnant. You know, so he's a good guy. He's going to divorce her quietly. He's not going to accuse her. He's not going to have a trial or get her stoned to death or anything like that. But the angel appears to him in a dream. And I think it's interesting, and we can point this out, that, okay, so the angel appears to Mary right in front of her eyes. Boom, there's the angel. Angel appears to Zechariah, who we'll probably talk about today for a minute. Appears right before. But with Joseph, the angel speaks to him through dreams. So I find that very interesting as well. So God talks to us. God speaks to us in the way He wants to speak to us. Yeah, I find that very, very interesting. Sometimes someone will say, well, God spoke to me like this. And I'm like, well, did He really? Did He really? You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I know this, God will reach you in the way He wants to reach you. Can I get a witness? Now, tell the truth, shame the devil. There it is, whatever. Matthew 1:23, and yes, God does speak to you. He speaks to me right in this inner voice, this inner feeling. Some people say, well, I hear a voice from behind me. Okay, whatever, okay. Okay. Matthew 1:23. This is Gabriel, the angel, talking to Joe. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I love that. I love that so much because here you are going down the road, Joseph. Here you are going down the road, Mary, but you're not going to be alone. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I got a big job for you to do, but I'm going to be right there with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. He didn't just walk on this earth for 33 years, but He's with us now. He is my present help in time of trouble. Emmanuel, God is with us. I'm saying that we have an amazing resource. We're strong. We like to do things on our own. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you hit a brick wall. You come up to something that is bigger than you. Instead of being frustrated and getting all upset or bitter or whatever, man, just trust in the Most High God because He's a miracle-working God. And He's not going to leave you or forsake you. This is good stuff, man. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's go to the next slide, church people. All that was kind of recap. So we're going to jump down to Luke 1, verse 34. Now we're starting the message if you want to set your timer. Luke 1, I'm playing. Kind of. Luke 1, 34. And Mary said to the angel, we're jumping down, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Angel appears to Mary, don't be afraid. You have the favor of the Lord. You got to have this baby. It's a big deal. You got to do it. It's a very important thing here. And Mary says, I'm a virgin. How's this going to be? Now this is so serious that we got to camp out here for a second. She's not doubting. She's not doubting, okay? It's a logistical question. She's asking a question. You can ask a question and not doubt. Does that make sense? And she's asking, well, how's this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. So it's a logistical question. She knows that it's going to have to be some sort of miracle. She's assuming that God's going to have to do something because she is a virgin. But she's putting her trust and her faith in God. She says, I'm your servant. Your will be done. I have the favor of the Lord. And we know, man, her life's not easy. We know that. Just because you have the favor of the Lord, just because you belong to Him, just because you're His servant, and you're trying to walk that line and being obedient to the Lord, does not mean everything's going to go your way. Okay? But God will be with you. and he's got a big purpose, a big plan for you. You know what I mean? He wants to use you. That's why you were born when you were born, because God wants to use you for this season, okay? Very important stuff right there. Mary asked this question, not doubting. She's just asking, how's it going? Okay, well, God's going to have to do the part that I can't do. She's asking a question. She's assuming God's going to do his part. And that's what I want us to do. We need to understand that God's going to do the things that I can't do. You know what I mean? My job is to trust in the Most High God. My job is to trust in the Lord and to obey the Lord. Obey the Scripture, even when I don't want to. Trust in the Lord and obey the Lord. That's a sign of us maturing and growing up, right? When I'm like, I really rather do something else, but I'm going to do what Scripture says. I'm going to do what the Lord says. And you know what? Over time, what happens is you're like, I want to do what Scripture says. I want to do it. Moving forward. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? She's not doubting. We're going to make that point. We're going to make it very clear. Now, 6 months before, I'm talking to you guys like you don't know the Christmas story. But we got to go through it like this, okay? 6 months before, Mary gets this information that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. The angel, the same angel, Gabriel, appears to this priest. Remember, he's a priest. Appears to this godly guy who has a godly wife. They're advanced in their age. But Zechariah is a priest, and he's actually working in the temple, lighting incense for the Lord. This was a very precious thing for him to be able to do, and not everybody was able to do it. So we can say that he had the favor of the Lord because God was truly blessing him and allowing him to have this honor to be in the temple and light these incense before the Lord. So Zechariah is in the temple doing what he's been called to do. Angel Gabriel appears to him and says, hey, God has heard your prayer. Look, he's a priest, so he knows Scripture. He prayed about something, and the angel appeared to him and said, God has heard your prayer. But before he says, God has heard your prayer, he says, hey, relax. It's okay. Peace. Because when this angel appeared, Zechariah was full of fear. There's amazing things, man, that just appeared before. So he was doing what he was called to do. This angel appears. He's freaking out, you know, which we would too, you know. But the angel says, peace, man, just relax. God has heard your prayer. And you and Elizabeth, that's his old lady, you and Elizabeth, that's his wife, you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And then Zechariah, he doesn't not only doubt, but he says, I need a sign. He doesn't even doubt. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't. Where we have little Mary, who just says, okay, this is an angel talking to me from the throne room of the Most High God and is telling me these things are going to happen. I'm going to put my trust and my faith in the Lord. Your will be done. Then we have this priest. Let me read this. Luke 1:18-20. A little bit of Zechariah's story, so we're backing up a little bit. 6 months before Gabriel appears to Mary. Luke 1:18-20. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe. Not just a little bit of tiny doubt there. He didn't believe it. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. God says it's going to happen, church people. Zechariah said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm old. My wife's old. I don't see how this can happen. Now, so here's the deal. I think this falls under the category of where much is known, much is required. But I love the childlike faith, and I mean this. I love the childlike faith of Mary. When the Lord says something, she just takes it as gospel, man. She just says, okay, you're God, I'm not. Your will be done in my life. I'm your servant. And then we have this godly guy, this priest, who would have been very skilled in understanding the Old Testament scripture. So he obviously would know that God is a miracle-working God. He obviously would know about Abraham and Sarah and how they were advanced in years and God wanted them to have a child and God blessed them with a child. Okay, these were things that he would obviously have known about. He's a priest. He's in the temple worshiping God. And he's saying, how am I going to know these things, man? Well, I need a sign of some sort. Hey, McFly, what about the flag? What about the fact that there's an angel in front of you, right? That is so amazing that you are gripped with fear until he said, just relax, bro. You know? So there's your sign, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel's calling him out on that. It's like, you want a sign? I'm Gabriel. I just left the throne room of the Most High God, brother. What are you talking about? What else do I need to do for you here? You know, I'm saying we got to trust in the Lord. We got to trust in the Lord. We don't want to be a doubting Thomas. We don't want to be a doubting Zechariah. We don't want to be a doubting Paul. Can I get a witness? And not only that, he prayed. He was praying. God, maybe he had given up on it. Don't give up on your prayers. Maybe he's like, well, it's in the natural. You know, it just ain't going to work out. Or just ain't possible now. Nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. So if God's laid on your heart to pray about something, don't give up. Trust in God. You know, he prayed about this. And obviously he gave up. So let's look at James 4 and verse 17. And I believe we are on slide 3 now. Yeah. James 4 and verse 17. So we have this option. Trust in God's word and obey God's word and be blessed. I'm not saying for a second it's going to be an easy road, man. I'm not saying that at all. But you have the Lord right there with you every step of the way. Or you can be a doubter. You can refuse to believe and just be a miserable Christian. Who wants that? Raise your hands if you want to be a miserable Christian. I can point you out. That's a miserable, nothing. I'm playing. Why does he say that sort of thing? I don't know. So James 4 and verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Think about that. To doubt or to not believe, when we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about sinning, man. Think about that. We have all the evidence. We have all this evidence. We have the proof of the change that he's done in my life, the change that he's bringing about in my life. And then we choose to doubt him because of some other outside circumstance or situation I'm going through that looks too big. Like I said, put it up against God. It ain't that big. I'm not saying it ain't real, but it ain't big stacked up against the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. When we're going around doubting all the time, we're not just making ourselves miserable and those around us miserable, but we're actually sinning. Now think about that. That's a big deal. And then, here's the deal. This guy's doubting, you know, and he should have known better. But we can say that to ourselves, too. I should have known better. I know the word of God, but this thing came out of nowhere, and I wasn't expecting it. Or this thing just weighs so much on me. Put your faith and your trust in God. Put our trust in him. We won't be disappointed. Doesn't mean it's going to go exactly how you expect it to go. It's not always going to be an easy road, but we need to put our trust in God. And so this guy has prayed for this, and he's given up on it. Look at James 1, 6, and 7. This is what James says about when we pray. But let him ask in faith. So this is how God expects us to go to the throne room in prayer. And you have access to the throne room of God. Do you understand that? If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, you have access to the throne room of heaven, and you can talk to God. Think about that. That's a big deal. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Is that true? Yeah, you know it's true. I know it's true. I've lived it. I've walked it. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now listen to verse 7. It's pretty hardcore. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. God really, really wants us to put our trust and our faith in him. And the more we get to know him, the easier it should be for us to put our trust and our faith in him. And I think sometimes we honestly miss blessings because we just don't believe it. We don't believe God can do it. Or it's not that we don't. Sometimes it's not that we don't believe God can't do it. You think, well, he doesn't want to do it. He wants to do what's best for you. He's called you to do something, and he wants you to have the provision you need. Can I get a witness? So, Zechariah, this old boy, this priest, he didn't believe God's word. He didn't believe what the angel said. We don't want to be like him. We're going to be like little Mary. So Luke 1 and verse 45, we're jumping back to the story with Mary now. Okay, Zechariah gets the message 6 months before Mary gets the message. Now Mary is talking to Gabriel, and Gabriel, the angel, says, look, your relative Elizabeth and Zechariah. See, Mary was related. Spoiler alert if you didn't know this. Zechariah and Elizabeth, this priest and his wife, were relatives of little Mary. So the angel, Gabriel, he says, hey, big job for you to do. Now check this out. Your kinfolk, your relative Elizabeth, she's going to have a baby too. And yeah, she's quite advanced in years. But listen, God can do all things. Where man said, well, she's barren and it's not going to work out, God says, no, nothing is impossible. So Mary gets up and she goes to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth. Raise your hands if you know where I'm at. All right, here we go. Okay, cool. Luke 1, verse 45. Now, this is super, super cool, man, because you could make the argument, well, hold on a second here. How do I know Mary wasn't doubting? She said, how will this be? I'm a virgin. How do I know she wasn't doubting just like Zechariah? Well, it says in the text that Zechariah did not believe, so we know he was doubting. Okay, what about little Mary? Little Mary had that childlike faith, and that's what we got to have, where we just trust. We just trust in God. So sometimes that's how we get hurt when we're young, because we put our trust in people that are supposed to be there for us, you know, and they're not. You know, so that kind of messes us up sometimes when we're talking about God, when we're thinking about God. Church people are like, well, God's your heavenly Father, and he wants what's best for you. And it kind of messes with our mind a little bit, because like, I can't really picture that, man. You know, but see, don't let that stuff mess you up. Now, I don't mean that. I'm not downplaying anything. I'm just saying that we have a God that loves us so much. He loves us so much. He sent his only begotten son to die for us a brutal, humiliating, tormenting death so we could be forgiven, so we could live forever, so we could enjoy eternity with our Father. So I just wanted to bring that out, man, because I know that that has to mess with some cats, some folks. Luke 1, verse 45. Gabriel's talking to Mary. No. Mary, like I said, runs to her relative Elizabeth. She's now meeting with Elizabeth. This is what Elizabeth says, Luke 1:45. And blessed is she, talking about Mary, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The Lord told her, like, Mary believed. You can kind of see Elizabeth like looking over at Zechariah. Blessed is she, you know. Looky here, Zechariah. Yep. But Mary believed in what the Lord said. We need to be in that place in our life where we believe in what the Lord says. So if he's made a promise, I can grab a hold of that, and I can walk in that, and I can have peace and joy when everything's crumbling around me. and I can believe what the Lord, because we know this in our heart. We know what the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. We know this, but sometimes the situation and the circumstances weigh too much, but they shouldn't weigh too much. You need to go back to what God says and stand on that. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. God, I feel like I'm being left behind. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. If I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart, there's like no room for me to lean on my own understanding because I'm trusting the Lord. We know that. And we know when Scripture says, hey, you know what? You choose to sin, you choose to suffer. Well, you reap what you sow, right? We know that as Scripture, and we don't need to doubt that or say, well, you know, I think God will give me a pass on this because I really want to do this. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. I'm telling you. If you've ever been taken behind, taken behind the woodshed by the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Because I'm telling you, man, save yourself some trouble, some torment, some misery, and just say, well, God said it, and that's what I need to follow. Okay? Can I get a witness? Luke 1:45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. We need to trust, we need to obey, and we need to be blessed. And what a wonderful time of the year it is. Amen. But you know what? Not for everybody. It's kind of tough for some folks. You know? So the good Lord says, and we want to trust and obey. The good Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. So let's be there for those in this congregation that might be having a little hard time this time of year. It's not all joy to the world for everybody. Now I'm saying we need to focus on the cross. We need to focus on the manger. We need to be excited about that. But if somebody's hurting, why don't you reach out to them? That's all I want to say about that. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us and merciful and gracious. Let us be a group that trusts in you and obeys you and wants what you have for us. Let us have a hunger and a desire to praise you and follow you no matter what the cost, no matter what is waiting around the corner for us. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. Amen. So a real quick announcement, really a couple, but tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we're going to have our monthly prayer meeting. And we always have such a wonderful time of prayer. So if you're free, come on up here and pray with us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Now, you'll notice these beautiful holiday flowers, these Christmas flowers, these old poinsettias, only $20. You know, once you drop a $100 bill in this offering plate, and you put a $100 bill in this offering plate, and I'll let you walk out of here with five of them. 20, 40. I'll let you walk out of here with five of them. You can pick a leaf off of one or the other one. Now, I'm being silly, but if you want one of these, buy it. It all goes to help on the fellowship building over there. And plus, they're absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, look. Next week, we got Stephanie Levins. Then directly after the service, we got our Christmas spaghetti feast. It's very in vogue right now. A lot of people are having spaghetti dinner for Christmas. I don't know if they're doing that or not, but it's cool. We're feasting after church Sunday, so bring a dessert, bring something, all right? Now, I haven't been this excited about an announcement since last Sunday, I guess. So the Labossieres have taken on this mission to host Christmas dinner right here at the Fellowship Building on December 25th. So if you want to have some fellowship and some good food, you need to let them know that because they need a head count. We need a head count. But anyways, isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Sometimes it's just a weird day. Like your family's doing this and they already did something or whatever. And, you know, what an amazing thing. I mean, I'm so stoked about this. But if you know somebody that could be blessed, reach out to them. And these young ladies want to bless us real fast. Girls, are you going to do it? They're going to do a short play on the nativity. Should take about 30, 40 minutes.
Sounds like somebody's getting sick over there. It ain't me. She's telling them what I'm doing your favorite song because I haven't done it in a while. And I see you at the dance. Your hands are cold. I don't know. We can do it on the phone. No, then, sister. No, then, she'll be here.
Strains of gold, waters on my thirst is all I need you. Lord, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet.